this evening and thank God for the fellowship that we've enjoyed these few days that we've been together. It's a good crowd tonight. I appreciate folks that are here. I appreciate the testimony by the brother who works with the Jewish people in that part of the world and here. And appreciate Brother Ellis being here, who works with crooks over in the prison. And he might be here tonight looking for some prospects to go to jail. You ought to be in jail, maybe. But thank God we've been set free, amen, by the blood. He talked about the blood. Terrible prison to be wrapped up in the enemy's prison, I'll tell you that. But I'm thankful. I appreciate the church also supporting our son Jordan on the mission field. I got pictures today. They've started on their building, but before you can get your building all built, you have to build a concrete wall around your church building. And today they had the gates and the bars all installed. It really looked kind of neat. I'd like to get some people in there. You got them trapped. You can preach at them till they get saved, I guess. I don't know why they do it so people don't steal everything all week. But he's been doing a good job down there and thankful. I was in Arizona a couple of weeks ago preaching and he came up and we had a lot of fellowship together, and I appreciate the church helping him, and I thank God for the opportunity again to be here, and I pray that the Lord would help us and bless us tonight in these few minutes. I want you to look in your book, if you would, to Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, and beginning in verse number 35, read just to the end of the chapter, down to verse number 41. Mark chapter 4. And verse number 35, very familiar story. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And if I was writing the Bible, I would have said, what in the world is the matter with you guys? But I didn't write it. I have nothing to do with it. Then verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And if I was writing the Bible here, I would have been one of those disciples in that mess. I would have said, what in the world have we gotten ourselves into? Father in heaven, we thank you for this Bible. It needs no addition, and obviously nothing should be subtracted from its teachings, from its principles, and what you would have us to know about you and about your plan for our lives. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. You're a good pastor, faithful pastor's wife, and those that work and labor together in this place, I pray that your good hand would be upon them. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be encouraged somewhat tonight by the words I feel like you would have me to speak to these folk. I pray that they could see themselves on the pages of the outline. May they see themselves in the everyday aspects of life that I feel like you'd have me to talk to them about. And I pray you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, three words in this little portion of scripture caught my attention. Other little ships. Other little ships. I think it's human nature really to focus on the ship that the Lord, the Savior, was sailing in. It's a great privilege to be a sailor in the Navy of the Lord. It's a wonderful blessing to be on board the ship that even he is sleeping in and on a pillow. That's a whole other sermon. But these other little ships is what I want to talk to you about. You see, the storms not only affected the ship wherein was the Savior, and your family may be having a conflict tonight, but others also are going through things. Your finances may be adversely affected at this time, but others are having problems also. Your future may be clouded with doubt and concern, but others are going through the same. You are not alone in the midst of the problems of life. You say, well, how's my little boat doing tonight? You know, it's not strange. It's not peculiar that the storms of life come across all of our human experiences. The storms are common to all. The storm breaks upon all. It's true that we have physical problems, physical afflictions. My kid brother died here 14 years ago, 11 years ago, I should say. My little sister died 14 years ago. Both of them were in the service of the Lord. They were faithful, and the Lord took them home. I've got preacher friends that have passed away. I've mentioned preachers' wives the other night that had died by nearly 20 in the last few months. Our brother mentioned the great songwriter, Squire Parsons, dying. I believe it was Monday, and I spent a little time this afternoon. Your phone has got some wonderful things on it, and so I just punched Squire Parsons in and listened to four or five songs that he had written, Beulah Land. And I thought about that. He's there now in Beulah Land. And that wonderful song, He Came to Me When I Could Not Come to Him. What a song that is. A very gifted, gifted man. But all of us have problems. But we are at least in the ship wherein is the Savior. What a blessing that is when illness eases its way into our lives. And in a midst like these disciples, the lightnings flash and the billows are raging and the waves are crashing, not only on them, but there were other little ships. Now, I tell you what impresses me about church. It impresses me, and I don't think there's anybody in the building tonight in this case, when you see people coming into the house of God pushed in wheelchairs, and you see people coming to the house of God walking with a cane or perhaps on crutches, people coming to the house of God where it was a great labor for them to find themselves here tonight or any night. I see sometimes in churches when those people have those oxygen tanks and they got that cord running up around them and got those things sticking up their nose. Takes some effort for them to get here. Some extra effort to find themselves in the house of God. Sometimes they put us to shame. Some people stay home from church because two crows flew across their driveway. I don't think I better go to church tonight. What a dumb reason that would be. My father, in the waning days of his life, died at 93 years of age, a little over 3 years ago. The last year of his life, really the last 3 years of his life, he was in a wheelchair. But the last year of his life, he was basically incapacitated. In all of that time, he missed one Wednesday night service in the last 3 years of his life. You know, you can get to church if you want to get to church. And obviously, a great number of you have done that this evening. Sometimes you know the burdens are heavier and the greater is the suffering, and we get to the place in our mind that we think that we assume that grave digging is a brand new business when the spade cuts the sod of our loved ones and We get a little bit bent out of shape when we go to the cemetery, but if you're not oblivious, if you are observant, you will see that the path to the graves are well trodden by hundreds and thousands ahead of you. We think we have problems. Others are burying their hearts. There are other little ships that are sailing along in these waters. There was a keen observer of things in ancient days who said this: man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. It is a natural thing to have negative situations in our lives. That may seem like cold comfort. I got a preacher friend, dear friend, Brother Keith Gomez. I don't know, it might have been 15 years ago. His wife died. I love Carla, and I love the family. And then she passed away, and then a little bit later, their boy, their youngest child, died in bed. Probably, I don't know, he must have been 25, maybe even 30 years of age. Just one day woke up in heaven, went to bed and woke up to heaven. And Keith went through a little bit of time of, I don't want to say depression, but just not knowing exactly what to do. When Carla died, he took 2 months off. And trying to, I guess, recoup from that, he went down to Texas and killed 2 buffalo. Now, that ought to get somebody over anything, don't you think? Go down and killing a couple buffalo. But when that boy died, it was a greater struggle, I think, or as great a struggle, perhaps. And I heard him preach, and he told about picking up a little book by a fellow by the name of Lehman Strauss. And it talked about the concerns of those that were passing through those kinds of sorrows. He said, when a parent dies, you lose your past. He said, when you lose a child, you lose your future. But when you lose a mate, you lose your present. And Keith said, the second sentence in that book was, we have an ever-present help in the time of trouble. We've got a God to help us through the difficulties of life. That encourages me. It helps me to know that I can make it. I can take it. I can get through the problems that come through my life. As a other little ship, we're not in any boat with Jesus tonight. We're here floating on the sea of America in the situations that go on here. I think sometimes the fear of the storm causes some people to compromise. You see some other Christian do something, some other Christian, some other singer, some other pastor. I've got names of preachers on this piece of paper I would not mention who have quit, who have thrown in the towel. I could name scores of Christians that tonight the FBI could not find them in a million years and get them to the house of God. However, there are other little ships who are bravely riding out the storm. And they're steeped in the difficulties of life, and they're staying on course. They're following the commander who is the sovereign of the seas. Sometimes we think we're the only ship. We're the only one going through it. And sometimes I think when you're out in a storm of life, I don't know if you've ever been in a stormy sea. One time, back when I was a kid, if you ever go to Michigan, you get up the top, you can go to the Upper Peninsula. Back when I was a boy, in order to get to the Upper Peninsula, you had to take a boat or go all the way around Lake Michigan and go up through Wisconsin, and nobody wanted to do that. And so you'd go up there and you'd get on a ferry boat. They'd drive their car on there and get off and go across there. I think it was 7 or 8 miles across there. Those old ferry boats, I don't know if it was the last time I was on the ferry boat, but one of the times when I was a kid, just a little kid like these two young fellas sitting down here, it was bad. It was really bad. It was the waves and cars were crashing underneath into one another. Their bumpers were hitting each other. And I mean, it was bad, bad, bad. And my dad, he took his belt off and he put me down where the legs of the benches were, and he took that belt, and he pulled it back, and he tied that thing off and put me on the floor and put that around me. And when, in retrospect, I look back, those folks, if we'd have sunk, they'd have had a life preserver, and I'd have drowned. I thought he was helping me then, but it was a dangerous thing. There are other little ships. You remember Elijah? He said, I've been jealous for the Lord. And those other folks, they forsook the covenant. And they've thrown down the altars. And then he pridefully said, I only am left. Nobody else is faithful. I'm the only one. The Lord said, hey, I've got 7,000 others that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. They haven't thrown in the towel. They haven't parked off over somewhere. They are still serving God. They are still faithful. And you can mark it down, child of God. We are not alone in this battle. We have brethren and sisters around this world serving God. Thank God for it. Other little ships sailing in the wake of the one in which Christ sails. I thought about the cruise of. I'm not going to talk about that. I thought about the cargoes. I thought about the destination. I thought about the passenger's purpose. Those other little ships, I think, may have sailed because he sailed. Amen. They followed him at a distance. And you think about this, child of God. Keep it in your mind. There may be somebody sailing in their ship because you are sailing in your ship. They are following in your wake. They are watching how faithful you are and how you're staying by the stuff. And I say to you tonight, keep at it. You say, well, I want to quit. I want to throw in the towel. Somebody might be watching you that you're really a help to. I like this little phrase. Those other ships that were there, what? When that all came down, what manner of man is this? What in the world? He could calm the sea. He could put the waves to bed. This whole world in which we live and we experience in the wake of the man of Galilee, these blessings that he has provided. Now, I want to give just a minute of attention to the ship he sailed in. Look at what it says in verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Can you picture that in your mind? He gets out a little ways, like I'm a little ways from the front row. I'm a little ways from the back row. I'm a little ways from the crowd. He's out in a little boat, and he teaches them. He talks to them. Now, there's advantages to being close. There are advantages to being in the boat. I'd rather sail with him. I'd rather be conscious of his presence. But there are other little ships that can soon sail on a passive sea because he calmed the storm that we were in. Benefits. There's great benefits from the stilled tempest. Reap from the blessings of God. I don't want to be political. I hate being political in the pulpit. But I'm going to for a moment. When our present president became president on November the 6th, and I talked to people casually about it, lost people, saved people, people at the airport and all around, there seemed to be a wonderful, comforting peace that settled over my soul. Now, Mr. Trump is not the Messiah. I mean, he's not going to solve all the problems of the world. Elon Musk might, but he's not going to. But I tell you, it was a blessing for a while. He's been into it 100 and some days, and it hadn't been that much of a blessing lately. I am thankful. You know, those people, could you imagine those people in those little ships out there? And some were probably better sailors than the disciples, or at least equivalent to their ability. And they're out there, other little ships, plural, sailed when they sailed. Could you imagine man, they're out there fighting, they're rowing, they brought the sails down, they got the anchor dragging a little bit, trying to get, make sure they could make it to shore, and all of a sudden like that. I imagine those seasoned sailors said to the, I ain't never seen it like this. I don't know if they say ain't in Hebrew, I'm not sure. Is there an equivalent, brother? I don't know. I've never had it like this, but this, the storm, I mean, the waves, the crashing waves and all of that, gone just like that. Yes. And thank God for his blessings and his goodness and his grace that sometime come across the path of our lives. Yes. Some of us do travel all the time, it seems like, through life on perilous seas. But thank God, as a child of God, we are in the ship with our Savior. He could have avoided the problem. He could have stopped the storm before it even affected the waves, affected the body of water. He could have stopped it. He could have directed it, sent it off to the Pharisees or something, blew them out of the water, been fine. He could have done that. But I think God wants us to go through the storms of life. I think they help us. And he knows that his presence and his power and his blessings can be found in the difficulties that we face in the storms of life. Trusting him in the storms of life proves the depth of our faith in him. My faith looks up to thee, O Lamb of Calvary. Living by faith, great is thy faithfulness. Thank God for those songs of Zion that bless our soul. Those little ships were blessed, and we will be blessed by being in the ship with our Savior. I'd like to talk about missions. I'd like to talk about souls saved. I'd like to talk about the work of encouragement. But I lastly, now it says there, when Jesus got to the shore and the ship, those other ships went to their various ports. There wasn't anyone else there. They'd all gone. And when you get up through one of these storms and you get on the other side, if you take time tonight to go home and read Mark chapter 5, you'll find out there was a devil-possessed man that needed help. There was a diseased daughter of Israel. There was a dead maiden that Jesus Christ brought back to life. When you get through a storm, God wants to give you a ministry. He wants to give you something to do for him. For him. There was a storm one time that broke over this planet. And there was a boat, just one boat. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights, and the fountains of the deep opened up. There was one great ship for the saving of all human life on this planet. And you know the fella that had that boat, Noah, and had just 8 souls on board that ship, and they were the beginning of all of us here that are on this planet this evening. I want to say to you tonight, if you happen to be a sinner and you slipped in here this evening, there's only one way to heaven. There is only one sovereign of the seas. There is only one Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. He trod the way. He pressed on alone. He made the voyage alone to Calvary to explore the world of the unknown. He tasted death, the Bible says, for every man. I read a little thing for Easter Sunday from Robert E. Lee, the great R.G. Lee, I should say, not Robert E. Lee. He was a good man, too, but from R.G. Lee, the great preacher from Memphis in a bygone day, he said this: Jesus once suffered on Calvary all the shame, scorn, horror, and agony due our sins. And they were met at the cross. The cross was the vilest, cruelest, most disgraceful, and diabolical instrument of execution that hell ever invented and implemented on earth. And so eloquent he was, he says, Jesus the Rose of Sharon, hung between two wild weeds of Satan. And I thought about it. One was the tree of redemption, and it yielded blood, the blood, the holy blood that's shed for every mankind. And one was a tree of rejection, briars of scorn. And one was a tree of reception that blossomed into faith. A benefactor died that day. A blasphemer died that day. And thank God, a believer died that day. The Savior, the scoffer, the seeker, the deliverer, the denier, the delightful. There was a fountain that day filled with blood that was drawn from Emmanuel's veins. If a sinner would plunge beneath that flood, would lose all. I said, all their guilty stains. Jesus Christ is the ark of safety. He's the old ship of Zion. He's the home of the soul. He is the captain of our salvation. Bless the Lord. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved. He didn't say it'd be nice if you'd be saved. He didn't say it'd be a good idea. He said you must be saved. You're not a Christian tonight, you ought to become one.
That's right.
Best thing in this world is to be a born-again child of God. And I'll tell you one or two reasons. One obvious reason, when you die, you go to heaven instead of going to hell. Another reason is there's not a person in this room that sometime down the road of your life, you're going to go through a real storm.
Yeah, that's right.
Financial storm, physical storm. I called a precious brother today on the phone about something else. I got to preach for him a week from Sunday in northern Michigan. And he told me about his brother's wife. His brother is a preacher also out in Missouri. And he told me about that man's wife has the same kind of cancer my wife has or had. And the same kind of surgery my wife had, she's going to have. You're not going to get through life without problems. You're not going to get through life without situations. But I thank God we get to go through them in the ship with the Savior. We're in His boat. It's a blessed boat. And that old boat, one of these days, it's appointed unto men once to die. Everyone in this room, 100 years from right now, I am sure will be in eternity somewhere. Somewhere. I don't plan on being 176 years old. Somewhere, 100 years from right now, you'll be somewhere. We Christians, I can see this in my mind's eye. I don't know if it's going to be exactly like this. But when I die, I don't know if it'll be a hospital bed or wherever it might be. Let's say home. I'd like to die at home, I think. When I die at home, I don't want to do it mowing the lawn or having a tree fall on me or anything like that. You know, just in bed, you know, laying there. I want to go easy. And we've had a lot of water around our house because it rains so much. I got a delightful neighbor too. He got brand new eave troughs put on his house. His house is probably about as wide as from one wall to this wall, both these walls that far apart. But he put on the end of his eave trough a long hose about that big around, and comes all the way over to the edge of my yard. I have never had a pool right there before. I've thought about a lot of things I could say to him. But you know, when you're talking to a Democrat, it really doesn't go well. I almost said Democrat, but I wouldn't say that. But I'm laying there. Now I guess it'd be easy, got all that water there. That old ship of Zion, pull into the port at 1198 Cash Drive. Cash is a good street number. for a preacher. Send your cash to cash. That's what I'm interested in. Pull into 1198 Cash Drive, Day Heights, Ohio. Just in case you want to know, it's 45150. And that boat says, get on board, boy. And I'll gladly get on board.
Yeah.
Go off through the universe somehow. There'll be a river of life there. That boat will pull up to the dock. I think the Lord's going to be kind about this. I think he's going to send down our loved ones and maybe people we won to Jesus and folks we had wonderful relationships and probably some people we're surprised will be there. But they'll come down there and they'll gather out in the dock and off the ship of Zion we'll go shouting the victory and praising our God. And as soon as we possibly can, like Squire had that song, to get at the feet of Jesus. I don't know that tune, but I tell you, I look forward to seeing his face. I look forward to worshiping him forever and forever and forever and forever. God help us. In the storms that we're facing, help us to realize there's others that are in storms too. When we're in calm waters and everything's going great, remember there's some people in the storms of life and difficulties. May we be Christian about it.
Yes.
May we be kind about it. May we be thoughtful of others' concerns. You know, it's very easy to say things that hurt other people's feelings. It's very easy to do that. Snide remarks, smart aleck things. God help us to be the kind of person God would have us to be. Father, I thank you.